Well, good evening. Welcome to New Community. If you haven't already heard that once, we hope you hear it 1,000 times before you leave. It's great to have everyone here. We're going to continue our series tonight on sensing God. And we've talked about the five senses that we all have. And Joel, thank you for him kind of taking with the bull by the horns last week. I really appreciate that. I was out sick. My doctor clued me in on something that Springfield's really good for, and I guess allergies is something. And he just said, well, welcome to Springfield, Missouri. You have the allergies. And I'm like, well, I've never done anything. I've never had any allergies in my life. And he said, well, you do now. And so it had me knocked out. In the middle of your table, there is a picture. And if you didn't get a picture, I hope you did. Maybe you can just slide over with someone if for whatever reason you didn't. And we're talking about images tonight and our sight. This is the sense that we're focusing in on tonight. And really quick, I just want to ask a question. What sort of message does this photo at your table, and everyone's got something different, so what sort of message does this photo speak to you? Can be funny, serious, whatever. It's and some of you have kind of funny pictures. Some of you have like, man, this is not a very fun picture to talk about. There's no right or wrong answers here. I just simply want you to have a quick discussion, and everyone can kind of talk. It's a safe place or whatever you want to say there. And I would just like for you to talk about what sort of message that this photo communicates to you. Hope everyone had a chance to kind of go over your picture. And every single one of these pictures that I found, and it's interesting, before you leave tonight, you ought to peek at a few of those other ones. But they're really great, thought-provoking pictures. And I like black and white pictures. They always make me think a little bit different. The contrast on them is just great. But sort of a, this is not a trick question, but how many people in this room you can see me? Yeah. Well, you know, which is kind of scaring me right now, actually, that I know that. But you see, we all have this visual cortex in our brains. We're literally millions of nerves and, you know, the retina and how it translates images to your brain, and then you receive emotions from those things. And this happens so fast, you can't even, you know, you can barely even comprehend it. And but it happens to every single one of us, between the nerves and the pathways and everything else. And several weeks ago, I was on I-44 driving in the middle of a pretty intense rainstorm. It's one of those things where, you know, when you have your windshield wipers on high and they're going about as fast as they can go and it's still hard to see. And all of a sudden, so I had my, you know, my windshield wipers cranked on turbo, and so they're going really, really fast. And then all of a sudden, they just stop working. And all I hear is this engine, this windshield wiper motor just kind of just spinning and nothing's happening. And I'm driving about 65 on the interstate and complete cannot see a thing. And so, of course, with my great automobile. The windows happened to be broke at the same time, which is just great. I don't know why I don't fix anything in my car, but it's paid for, so I'm going to roll with it till the wheels fall off. So we're going to keep driving that thing. And so at this point, I go into semi-massive panic mode. I don't know if you've ever been there. I can't see anything. So I pull off on the side of the road. I called Daisy. I said, "You're not going to believe what's happened." So I think it's just a fuse, no big deal. So I changed the fuse. I actually happen to have some spare fuses in the car. I know for you mechanics in the room, you're like, "Oh, I'm very proud of you," you know. But unfortunately, none of them are the right amperage. I end up catching my steering column on fire. A lot of other things ended up happening. So anyway, don't feel too good for me or bad. But it ended up making it all the way to Joplin, and I went down there to get something. I pulled in this gas station. I waited for there. I ended up getting my windows worked, so I drove all the way home from Joplin with my head out the window, rain in the face, and made it home safely. I didn't fix those things till about a couple of weeks ago. I went over to my friend Aaron Greer's house, and we fixed the windshield wipers. So I'm very proud of myself. I bought the part myself and went and fixed it because that's how I roll. And so we fixed those things. But have you ever been in the middle of a storm or something like that, or maybe a similar experience where total blackout and what was so precious to you, your sight, being able to see, all of a sudden was taken away from you, and it just fear literally gripped your heart. On a happier note, there are developmental stages that children go through, and thankfully, my little Chloe, she's 2 years old, she still gets a kick out of this game, and I can't get her to laugh for anything else, but Peekaboo always works really well. And so in the whole developmental process of this thing, I never really realized this, but there is this whole thing that's called object permanence. And what kids, especially young toddlers, they go through is when they close their eyes like this, and let's just all practice this just for a second. I thought this would be fun, especially if you have kids. This will be normal. Everyone kind of just close your eyes like this, and or put something over your eyes. You close your eyes, whatever. And you sort of know, and you can take them off now, and you sort of know after you cover those eyes, I am still here. And that's because you understand that just because you cannot see me does not mean I'm not there. Well, the fun that kids have is that whenever they hide from you, they forget that you're there, out of sight, out of mind. Well, we know, and once you kind of get to that point, well, look, just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. Well, this is interesting, and we're talking about sight tonight, and this was a really interesting sense for me to study, and I came to a passage of Scripture that I really want to focus in on tonight. It comes out of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. If you have your Scriptures, you can turn there. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. If not, you can listen along. It says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Let's talk a moment about some powerful images. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, right? And this is, of course, what most people read on January 1st, because they're starting their you know, one-year Bible reading plan. And sometimes they make it through Genesis 1. Sometimes you give up on the plan after day 2. But it's still there. And this is this is such an amazing passage of Scripture. And I revisited it studying for this. And there was a kind of a new light that was shed on it for me. In Genesis chapter 1, it says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void," or empty. "Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." He goes on for 6 days of creation, and then on the seventh day, He rests. And it's interesting, because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Literally, He created something out of nothing. And then we see in verse 2 that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters of the earth. And so there's this God, this Elohim God, this, like, you know, creator God. And then there's this Spirit that's hovering over the waters. So this God has some sort of spirit that's connected to it. And then it says he spoke some things into existence. And so we have this God and we have this spirit, and then we have like this word that is spoken into literally nothing, and it creates something. And it's interesting. Day one, we see that light and dark are created, and it sort of separates these things. And then he separates on day two the sky from the water. He separates these two expanses. And then there was evening, then there was morning the second day. And then on the third thing, he makes this land, you know, he makes ground, and then he makes the seas. And then he launches into these next 3 days of creation, which is interesting because the first 3 days, it's almost like he's separating things. And then on the following 3 days, the last 3 days of creation, it's like he's filling those things. And so he then creates the sun and then the moon and then the stars. And of course, those things fill up space. Thank you very much, because the sun and moon fill up space. And then he created the birds and the fish, which live in the air and the water. Thank you very much, Central Bible College. Yes, you know, birds, air, fish, you know. And then he created the animals, right? And so he made these livestock, and he made animals that slither and crawl on their bellies, right? You remember all these things? And then he made, you know, the duck-billed platypus, I guess, you know. I mean, and which would have been interesting. I would have given anything to be there when Adam started naming things. Wouldn't you? I mean, so God's like, hey, man, seriously, hey, man, come up. You're the only person here. Come here. We're just going to bring them in front of you. You know, and they just start naming things. I just think it would be a hilarious thing. And then, of course, he creates all these animals, and Adam names them. And then there are all sorts of crazy things that go on. And then obviously, you know, man's all alone. It's not good for man to be alone. So he creates woman. And then on the seventh day, God what? He rests, right? And so in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says this: for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, the things you cannot see, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You see, this creation that we live in bears a maker's signature on it. And then Paul here enters upon a discussion that is usually called in theological realms as natural revelation, or maybe you've heard it called like general revelation, and this would be contrasted to special revelation, which is like the Bible that we have, you know, and this is something that's special. And so this natural sort of revelation that God has given every single person leaves us without an excuse that there is a creator. And so this word that was spoke into nothing and made something. It's interesting because we fast forward in your mind. I don't know about you, but in my mind, I fast forward to the book of John. And you remember what it says in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, that in the first couple of verses there, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Do you remember that? And it's almost like there's this, you know, incredible narrative story unfolding in front of us. And natural revelation is sufficient to make us responsible, but we would not say that it's sufficient to bring about salvation in our life, thus the need for a communication of the gospel in order to bring about an opportunity for salvation. And so it's funny to think about the world, because scientists estimate that there are nearly 100 billion galaxies. And who counted is my question. And who counted? And then out of those 100 billion galaxies, there are probably somewhere around 100 billion or so stars and our suns. And then each one of those suns probably has about 100 billion, you know, stars kind of assigned to them or whatever. And in our galaxy alone, there's close to 100 billion black holes, which explains why I feel a little drowsy at around 3 p.m. on every afternoon. Just kidding, that was a joke, and not going over well tonight. Earth is traveling, I just thought this was amazing. You know, there's this star, you know, this planet, Earth, that is traveling through our galaxy 67,000 miles per hour. And if that wasn't bad enough, it's also spinning on its axis at 1,000 miles per hour, which is the exact reason why we should all wear our seatbelts. And then Earth has a sun, and the Earth receives 99% of its energy from the sun. And I know you may say, where in the world is he going with this? And just keep following me here for a few minutes. And 99% of its energy, of our energy on the Earth, comes from the sun, which is 93 million miles away. Interesting, because if we were 92 million miles away, no life on Earth. If we're 94 million miles away, no life on Earth. And of course, you know, the Earth is tilted on an axis, you know, and it spins 23.5 degrees. And it's like that because of the gravitational pull between the sun and the moon. If that's off, no life on Earth. You know, every other planet's kind of like this, and the Earth's, you know. And because of that, we don't burn up, you know, and we rotate, and we're glad that we rotate so that one side of the Earth is not just fried or frozen, whatever your taste may be, but yet it sustains life. And if it's off, no life on Earth. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." You see, faith in God has something to do with sight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." And I really think this is interesting because as I look at, if we kind of zoom in on this Romans chapter 1 verse where we're given this picture of what God is and who He is. And let me just remind you of this verse. "For since the creation of the world, and God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood what has been made so that men are without excuse." And I don't know about you, I see, first of all, there's a clear testimony before our eyes. I have a friend who enjoys nature very, very much. And she loves it so much that she tells me often kind of the epitome of kind of a worship experience for her is to journey out into nature and to worship God and to journal and to be out where God has, you know, kind of made us to be. And so there's this clear testimony that's set before every single one of us. And there's also, there's this word understood, which is interesting in this verse. And it suggests that revelation doesn't just stop with perception. It's not that I just see it, but I also reflect on it, which is interesting because there are things in life that we see, like the pictures that you have on your table. This picture that I have is of a small child leaning against the forehead of, I know you can't see it, of a grandparent or someone who is older. And a lot of times when we think about pictures, I think we want to see something on a screen of like nature, you know, like a giant mountain, which certainly is applicable to this type of message. But I believe that there are pictures we see every single day in our normal lives, when reflected upon, would say, God is in that. When I see people who are hurting, I see families going through difficult times, and I see people who do not get paid, do not have a job description to do this, who are not assigned a job, but they rally around them to meet certain needs that they have and that they're able to do. When I see that happen, that's a picture for me. That's a picture for me that Christ is alive in them. We're going to look at what that means here in just a few minutes. You see, the word understood suggests that revelation doesn't just stop with perception, but it's expected to include reflection, drawing on a conclusion, drawing that there is a conclusion, that there is a creator. And it's also a constant testimony. It says this, that since the creation of the world, it's constant, it's ongoing, and last, it's a limited testimony. It leaves us without excuse, but it also necessitates that we have a special revelation. So just as we wrap up some of these thoughts, and I try to kind of corral them together, I kind of organize these things around three thoughts that I wanted to share with you tonight that each have scriptures to go along with them. The first thing is that we have, because of God's creation and what He's given every single one of us, we must revere God. Psalms chapter 33 is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms, and I'd like to read it to you tonight. It says this: sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the heart, make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to Him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. And by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars, and He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of nations, and thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place He watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, and on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. Amen. The Lord who spoke the very heavens and earth into existence is the same Lord who is our strength and our shield. I mean, if there's something that causes me to revere Him, if there's something that causes me to bring about reverence to the Lord and bring reverence in my own life to Him, it's the knowledge that He created the heavens and the earth, and that just seems so distant and far away from me, and yet He's the same God who hears me and never misses a tear that is cried. There is something that is awe-inspiring about that. But not just to revere Him, but to reflect on God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says this: this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What if we were all to go on the mission field tonight? And this is a mission field that you've probably never heard about, and maybe most of us have probably never even thought about going there or even think we could go there. But this place is called Flatland. And Flatland is a two-dimensional land where everyone lives in two dimensions and no one lives in three dimensions. Now, if you and I were to go to Flatland, there is what two dimensions is height and width, correct? Height and width. And so we go to Flatland and we see this object. This object is a marker. And of course, from our Flatland, this marker appears to be a rectangle. It's a rectangle. Now, of course, we don't come from 2D land. We come from 3D land. And so as an enlightened 3D-er, we're going to infiltrate this 2D flatland, and we are going to try to inspire and to convince people that there is another realm, although they have never experienced it. And what we are trying to tell them as we enter into 2D flatland is that, no, the marker is not square. The marker is round. Oh, but how can that be? You can't have something square and round at the same time. But we're saying, no, you have to understand. I know that it's square, but it's also round. And, well, how do you know this? Well, I know this because I'm from 3D land. Some of you are, looking at me like, this guy is weird. And maybe I'm hoping this is going to work, so I've been practicing it all afternoon. And so you say, no, you have to understand. It's not just square, it is also round. Now, this may be a silly illustration, but can you imagine going to a mission field where no one understands you? No one talks like you because you are an enlightened 3D-er. And you're saying, look, I know you think it's just square, but if you can just see it, if you can just see it, you'll know that it's round. But of course, in 2D flatland, nothing can ever have depth to it. So they can't say that a circle is a sphere, or anything like that. It's just either a circle or a square. Now, of course, we live our lives in a three-dimensional realm. We, of course, know that this can be square or round, depending upon how you look at that. And I was thinking about today, I think any science majors in the room, I forget, but I think Einstein or someone proved that there could be like 11 dimensions or something along that lines. And as I was thinking about this today, if God was looking at our lives like a little marker, and although for us we know that this is round and square all at the same time, do you think God just looks at us like 2D? Or maybe he sees the end, from the beginning, and he can see every angle on everything. He's in it. He's not just outside of it. He's really, really close to it, and yet he's zoomed out. He can see everything about it, every aspect of it. And of course, we know that God can't be contained in any dimensions either. And this brings me great comfort to know that my life is in the hands of the greatest mind that I can comprehend, and greater even than that, because he sees the end from the beginning, and he saw me, when I was hurting, because he is there. And just a few weeks ago, I was asked a question that, if God's so great, how can he allow all of these crazy things to go on in our world? And my answer was just, yeah. There are just some things there are not answers to. And for that, I just always think about this illustration, that it's because I'm trying to look at things like a 2D-er would. I only see certain aspects of it. And yet God is kind of all around that situation, and he sees that. You see, what can we learn about when we think about our lives in a 2D realm, and we have so much to give them. We have so much enlightenment to tell a 2D-er. And if you were sent as a missionary there and you were trying to communicate one of the most difficult messages in the world, it would be so hard. And yet that is what we are trying to do at times with people, is communicate a message that yet we only see parts of. There is an awe about God that you and I will never grasp on this side of eternity. What if you had to explain something to a group of people that sometimes words just did not explain? And sometimes I just want to say, I can't explain it, but look at that. Look at this. And so we have to reflect on God. It's not just we have this perception that we revere God because of what he's done, but we must reflect on it, because we realize that it is awe-inspiring and that it inspires us to do something. And yet, We revere it and we reflect on it, but we must rejoice in it. We must rejoice in God. It's interesting, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is in the middle of one of the greatest sermons that he's ever preached, in the Sermon on the Mount. And he uses an image illustration, talking to people who are caught up in their own worries of their life. And he says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? He sees from other dimensions our lives. I'm reminded of Colossians chapter 1, that great verse where by Him all things were created, for Him and by Him, Jesus Christ. And yet in Him, Christ, all things hold together. The Lord that we serve is big enough to create the heavens and the stars, but He is intimate enough to care for you in the very toughest situations in our lives. He's close enough to never miss a tear. He's close enough to know every single thing that we're ever going through, and He's preparing us to go through things in advance that we can't even fathom. Now, when it comes to image, when it comes to sight, my one prayer for us this evening was this: may the eyes of our hearts be opened so that we see Christ, that there is nothing too small, too insignificant, or too large, or seemingly impossible for Him to care and to intervene in our lives. May the God of all creation, the heavens of the universe, may we come to see Him as not just the Creator God, but also the One that can speak to our lives and speak to the storms in our lives and cause them to be still. So, Lord, we revere You. We reflect on You, and we rejoice in You. I want to ask my friend Jay Anger, if he would, tonight to come, and I've asked him to close us in a word of prayer before we dismiss tonight. Jay.
You know, Pastor Mike, as you begin to share this, it occurred to me that in nature we see everything strives to have life, but yet it's caught in this helpless cycle that everything that's striving towards life is marching headlong towards death. And we see men that are striving for order and for peace, but yet as time goes on, we march headlong into more disorder and more war. Instead of getting better, man is continually getting worse and more evil and more corrupt. And I think truly one of the greatest miracles is to realize and to understand that there is no way for man to come up with this book right here and this message on his own. It is truly God-inspired. There is nothing within us that can produce this except for God. And I'm reminded when we begun to sing tonight that we're hungering and we're thirsting for more of God, but I wonder if it's not the other way around. God is hungering and thirsting for more of us. But yet we are so broken and we're so dysfunctional in our lives that He's unable to fill us, that He is unable to come in and do those works that need to be done in our lives. So as we close tonight, let's look to Him and ask Him to help us. Lord, we submit ourselves to You, the awesome Creator of this universe. Thank You for revealing Yourself to us. Father, we are so helpless and we are so lost without You. All we see is death and destruction around us, except for You, Lord. So God, we pray that You would help us. We pray that You would heal our minds that we could dwell on You. We pray that You would heal our hearts that we can love You. Oh, God, we pray that You would heal our bodies so that we can labor for You. Lord, we pray that You would heal our souls that we could worship You. Father, help us to submit ourselves to You, to look to You and to see You, Lord. Oh God, we submit ourselves to You, Lord, for we are nothing. We are helpless without You. So come, come and fill us. Come and be with us. We invite You into our presence, Lord. We look to You for the answer. Oh God, thank You once again for choosing to reveal Yourself to us. Thank You for coming and stepping into our world and into our flesh and blood. Oh God, we thank You for that marvelous, marvelous work. Lord, thank You for giving up Your own life for us on the cross. Lord, we praise and we worship You, for You have created all things, and in You is life. Father, as we go tonight, we pray that You would go with us, Lord, and You would help us to see You. Help us, Lord, to see You with supernatural eyes and not through the natural eyes that we have. Help us to see others through supernatural eyes and not the natural eyes that we have. We pray for Your anointing in all that we do, and we ask that You would bless us. Oh God, help us to give ourselves more to You. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jay. Just want to say thanks again for everyone coming tonight. Hope you have a great week. If there's anything that we can do for you guys, or just encourage you to really stop by, give it, you know, talk to me, talk to one of us. We just love to help out in any way we can. If there's anything that we can do for you, prayer, family needs, anything. And then right over here at this information table, there are our small group packets and things like that. That if you're saying, man, I'd like to get involved, or a little bit of information about how to get involved, some smaller groups that we have here at New Community, man, feel free to stop by there. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.